DiscerningHearts.com presents Inside the Pages, insights from today's most compelling authors. I'm your host, Chris McGregor, and I'm delighted to be joined by Father Scott Hurd, who serves as Vicar General for the Personal Ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter. A priest of the Archdiocese of Washington, he is former Executive Director of the Archdiocesan Office of the Permanent Diaconate, and has also served in the Archdiocesan Office for Religious Education. Father Hurd began his professional ministry as an Episcopal priest, entered the Catholic Church in 1996, and was ordained a Catholic priest 4 years later. He is the author of Forgiveness, A Catholic Approach. With Father Scott Hurd, we go inside the pages of The Living Gospel, Daily Devotions for Lent, 2013, published by Ave Maria Press. Father Scott, thank you so much for joining me.
Well, thank you so much for having me back on the program.
I am telling all my friends that the devotional this Lent is The Living Gospel, Daily Devotions for Lent 2013. Thank you so much for penning this.
Well, you're very kind, and it was a joy to write, and I hope it's a blessing to those who have a chance to read it.
The thing about it, Father, is that it can be used for Lent, but I think anybody picking this up at any time of the year would find entering into these reflections and this retreat, essentially, very edifying.
Well, I hope so. I mean, certainly the practice of reflecting on the Word of God and the Gospel and spending time with our Lord is not something reserved to the season of Lent. And even though these devotions are pegged to the gospel appointed for daily mass throughout Lent, anyone at any time can dive right in and start engaging with God's Word.
It's so apparent that you have a great love for Scripture and that pondering that comes from Lectio Divina. It comes out in just about everything you do.
Well, thank you. I'm grateful to hear that. Actually, the origin of the little meditations are the homilies that I've been preaching at daily masses for a number of years throughout Lent. And so they are a fruit, so to speak, of the prayer with Scripture that I have engaged in over many, many Lents. And I've had a chance to polish these a little bit and introduce them to what I hope is a wider audience.
Lent is a time to really enter into discipline, isn't it?
Well, it is. We have the traditional disciplines of prayer and fasting and almsgiving. And I know of so many people, and I would imagine that you do as well, who actually look forward to Lent because it's a season in which we, more often than not, are very intentional about our faith mm-hmm. and discipline. And people welcome that and approach it with a very positive and eager attitude.
It is surprising, isn't it, Father, that Ash Wednesday isn't necessarily a day of obligation. At least the Church doesn't say it's a holy day of obligation, but yet that is a day when Catholics feel this great compulsion. I mean, they have to get to Mass on Ash Wednesday.
You know, you're entirely right. And as a priest, it's always gratifying on Ash Wednesday to see the pews filling up, and very often with faces that we don't necessarily see every weekend. And so Lent is a real opportunity for the Church to engage with people who might be irregular in the practice of their faith. We're hearing so much these days about the new evangelization and this initiative to repropose the good news of the gospel to those who may have heard it before, but it didn't really click. And now we're going to make a renewed effort to present the gospel to them, and there's no better time to do that than on Ash Wednesday when we have something of a captive audience.
This Lent in particular,
when we talk about the new evangelization. For many of us Catholics in the United States, this is kind of an odd time, isn't it? I'm just talking about, you know, culturally, the climate, politically, things that are going on in the world. Do you get a sense that there's just something a little different than before?
Well, to begin with, Christmas just ended, you know. Mm-hmm. I drive through my neighborhood, and we still have some people with Christmas lights up, and then all of a sudden we're into Lent. But, you know, at the same time, we're always reflecting on what is going on in the life of our nation and in our culture. You hear some voices talking about a very aggressive secularization that we're contending with, and I do think that that presents a challenge to many people. But at the same time, I see it as an invitation for us to be renewed in our faith and in our commitment to our Lord. And there's no better time to take active steps to re-engage with our faith and during this season. You know, the name of our season, Lent, comes from an old Anglo-Saxon word which means springtime or spring, and that has all the connotations of new growth and renewal and new birth, and at its heart, that's what Lent is all about. It's engaging in those disciplines in order to make room in our life for the activity of the Holy Spirit, for us to grow in our conversion and then prepare for that celebration of the new life of the resurrection at Easter.
As someone picks up this particular book, The Living Gospel, Daily Devotions for Lent 2013, you're really asking us to take time and pause in between each of the exercises that you have. And they're not ponderous by any sense of the imagination, but kind of in the pacing of everything, ask us to take that pause.
I do. Even prior to that, I'm inviting people to take a pause in their day to spend intentional time with our Lord and the Word of God. In a reflective way that requires us to pause and to listen and to digest. But, you know, so often in our 24/7 culture where we're running around overscheduled and very often overburdened, sometimes making time for prayer, to take that pause and intentionally be with our Lord, can seem like something of a luxury for people who have too much time on their hands. Mm-hmm. You know, prayer can begin to seem like just one more item on a to-do list that's already become too long. And so in structuring this book, I wanted the meditations and the prayers to be substantive but doable, so that people could see this and think, you know, I can fit this into my life for Lent and allow the Lord to speak with me through this without it seeming like too much of an imposition, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. It does. And even in that last portion of the reflections where you call for action of sorts, it's called ACT. For example, you have, I will sit with God in perfect silence for at least 5 minutes, as I might sit with my closest friend. But then you also have, you know, there'll be an action for a day where I will pray for an enemy. I will pray for a prisoner. Just different types of things that we can do. So you're not setting us up for failure with any of these because they're all very doable.
Well, thank you, and I'm grateful to hear that, and that's certainly the intention. And I'm a firm believer in action steps. In my preaching, I always try to leave folks with a takeaway, some practical way that they can apply the lesson for that day, the teachings of their Lord, of our Lord, to their lives. And you know, our faith requires us to put our beliefs into action. Just think of the Mass, for instance. We gather as church, we hear the Word of God, we're nourished by the sacrament of the Holy Eucharist, but then we're sent forth at the dismissal to go out into the world, to be the body of Christ, you know, the salt and the light in the world around us. And I tried to apply that principle to this little book. We can be fed by the Word of God, but then what's the action step? What are we going to do about it? And I like to try to make it manageable, because if it seems manageable, I think the likelihood of our doing it is that much greater.
Can I be so bold as to say that those who would enter into this particular reflections that you find in the Living Gospel Daily Devotions for Lent 2013, would that person who does that would really do well for themselves to also enter into your other work, the forgiveness, the Catholic approach? I think that particular book, I know, has transformed so many lives, Father, and I think particularly through Lent in this period, that's a practice in these devotions too. You call us continually to look at our hearts and to find areas where we have unforgiveness.
Absolutely. And thank you for those kind words. Obviously, the whole topic of forgiveness is very important to me, and I hope that that is evident in this Lenten book. But so many of the Gospels for the Lenten season do touch upon the topic of forgiveness. And this season invites us to examine our lives and consider, is there someone with whom I'm harboring resentments? Is there a significant relationship in my life in which there has been some sort of breach? Is there a circumstance in which I might be invited by the Lord to be a peacemaker? And you know, efforts to forgive, to reconcile, to heal, I think are just as valuable a Lenten discipline as some of the more traditional ones that Catholics have been embracing and are familiar with for so many years.
Father Scott, why is it so difficult for us to forgive those who are closest to us? I mean, to forgive somebody down the street, to forgive a coworker, that might be a little bit easier than forgiving a parent, or even forgiving someone in the church, a priest or someone who might have let us down.
Right, right. Well, very often I think we have higher expectations for those who are closest to us in our lives than we do for people who might have a few more degrees of separation from us. You know, we want our families to be communities where we are accepted and loved and affirmed and nourished in body and spirit. And when that doesn't happen, the pain is more intense than if something were done to us by somebody outside the family. You know, a neighbor down the street, or something like that. So I would say that, you know, in our families, because the pain of hurt is more, that makes the challenge of forgiveness that much more difficult, which means we need that much more grace to do it.
Well, Lent really does seem to be quite the season of grace if we open ourselves up to it. In this wonderful booklet, The Living Gospel, Daily Devotions for Lent 2013, you put your great skills of being such a phenomenal storyteller to work. And it's amazing what the Holy Spirit can do in just a couple of paragraphs with your stories. They're just such digestible nuggets.
Well, thank you for that. And I do. I have a little writing discipline when it comes to my daily Mass homilies. I like to keep them at a maximum of 250 words. Mm. And I kind of applied that to these meditations here. But I think that in that, you know, short or this very limited word count, a great deal of wisdom and truth can be conveyed. And I love telling stories. Mm. And I think that's a very effective preaching technique. I always try to begin my preaching with a hook, with an anecdote or a story, something that's going to resonate with people in their lives and see how the good news of the gospel is fresh and alive and contemporary. So I'm grateful for that feedback, because that's actually what I tried to do. One thing I'll share with your listeners that I do, in my office I have a big file cabinet with files on different topics that one day I might preach on. And whenever I come across something on the news or in a magazine or a conversation I have, I stick it in a file. So when it comes time to preach, I have a collection of things that I can draw upon, and many of those in a very condensed form I've included in this Lenten book.
Yeah, they're really quite wonderful. To ask you what your favorite might be asking a lot, because there's so many in here.
Oh, my goodness. I haven't even thought of that. what might be a favorite? Because I have a copy of the book in my hand right now, and I'm just kind of leafing through. But, you know, there is a real satisfaction in writing something for the Lord. And, you put something together and you think, gosh, I hope that this can glorify God or touch people's lives. And, when I write something I'm personally proud of, I always try to offer up a little prayer of gratitude, just to remind myself that this is the Lord's work and not my own.
One of my favorites is one I've used on my kids since I started, because I did start a little bit ahead of time, of course, to prepare for this. But it's the elephants in the mouse swimsuit. That is such a great analogy. Do you mind sharing that?
Oh, I love it. Yes, and I have to give credit where it's due. I first heard that from the abbot, former abbot of the Benedictine monastery here in Washington, St. Anselm's, Abbot Anselm Shea. And he preached and he used that, and I thought, gosh, that's a keeper. And I wrote it down, and here it is in this little book. Actually reminds me of a story that maybe some of your listeners will appreciate. Mm-hmm. Preacher got up in the pulpit to preach his homily, and he raised his arms and kind of made a hash mark motion, kind of like quotation marks. And then he preached his homily and concluded, and he raised his arms again and made this kind of hash motion, and people were greeting him after Mass and said, you know, Father, that was a fine homily, but what's the business with waving your arms in the air? And he said, yeah, they're quotation marks because I didn't say anything that hasn't been said before. So, certainly true of a lot of the anecdotes and stories in this book.
That particular one, it talks about how we have a tendency to try to put God in a much smaller, well, in this case, a mouse's swimsuit, when he is so much bigger. And that's a mistake that we make. And by not getting to know him in this relationship and expecting big things from a very big God, then we do ourselves a very sorry disservice.
Absolutely. And it is a very real temptation for us to reduce God to what we might think is a manageable or an understandable level. and we can come to the conclusion that, well, we have God all kind of wrapped up in a nice, tidy package, and then God comes along and surprises us. And whenever we think we have God all figured out, well, then the God we're thinking of is a portion of our infinite God who has revealed himself to us. And we take the elephant and we try to stuff it in the mouse swimsuit, and what we end up with is a very compromised image or portrait of who our God really is.
Father, it is quite a pilgrimage we start during Lent, isn't it? That, I mean, the mood, the character, the nature of the readings, what we experience in liturgy, we do travel as a people, don't we, through these weeks?
We do. And I like to describe it as a journey from ashes to living flame. You know, we begin this season on Ash Wednesday, and the ashes are imposed on our foreheads, and we are reminded of our mortality and our brokenness and our need for continued conversion, and we begin this journey, but we can see where the journey ends. It ends with the living flame, that new fire that is lit at the Easter Vigil, which is a symbol of the risen Lord and the new abundant life that he gives to us. So it is a journey from point A to point B, but hopefully along the way it's a journey in which we are renewed so much that when we get to that point of being gathered around the living flame, we have been transformed and renewed and are ready to celebrate the joy that Easter is.
Oh, how beautiful. What would you say to the person out there, Father, that hasn't really entered into a Lenten practice? I mean, when they might, what would you say to that person who is kind of contemplating how I want to make this Lent different?
Yes. Well, sometimes, and I think you hinted at it, we can get into something of a Lenten rut. You know, maybe we've given up alcohol or chocolate for any number of years. And you know, that might be, depending on our lives, a very meaningful sacrifice. Or it may just be the same old thing we've done over and over. And that leads us to approach Lent as just something we need to endure in order to be a Catholic. And I think there's a real benefit for us to think outside the box when it comes to Lent. And I would suggest three things. First, approach Lent with realistic expectations. Sometimes we approach Lent and think, I really need to get my spiritual act together, and at the end of Lent, I'm going to be an entirely new person.
Mm-hmm.
Our intentions are good, but we've set the bar too high. You know, we want to go from being Homer Simpson to Mother Teresa overnight.
Mm-hmm.
And it's better to take on something doable and realistic than something that may seem noble, but it's going to lead us to burn out after a couple of days. Does that make sense?
Oh, absolutely. I know I've done that myself a couple months ago.
Sure. And it's, I recall a story told by Archbishop Anthony Bloom of young woman who was new to faith, and she heard St. Paul's instruction that really we should be praying without ceasing, and she tried to do just that. But she'd never really had a life of prayer up until that point in her life, and as you might imagine, as might be expected, she quickly crashed and burned, and she approached Archbishop Bloom in discouragement, and he said, No. Don't worry about it. What you have is spiritual indigestion, he said, because you bit off more than you could chew.
And I
think that we all have that tendency at times to approach Lent that way. The season, a priest friend of mine calls our season of great expectations. I think it's better if we approach it as a season of realistic expectations.
Very good. Well, we've been talking with Father Scott Hurd about his beautiful daily devotional book for Lent. It's called The Living Gospel. And any final thoughts, Father?
Well, final thoughts as we begin the countdown to Lent. I know everyone is listening on Monday morning. We have 2 days to go before Ash Wednesday. If you haven't decided on your Lenten discipline, spend the next 2 days opening yourself to the Holy Spirit and saying, Holy Spirit, what is it that you would have me do during this season? What would be the most meaningful way for me to engage with this season so that I can take that journey from ashes to living flame? And then be prepared for Ash Wednesday, and with the grace of God, have a blessed Lent.
Wonderful. Father Scott Hurd, thank you so much. And I would encourage everybody, too, to visit your wonderful blog spot. And also, besides The Living Gospel, which we've just talked about, that forgiveness book. Yeah, it's I think, a classic.
Well, thank you. And I appreciate the affirmation, and I'm grateful. It's a blessing to you, and hope it'll bless others, too.
All right. Father, thank you so much.
Thank you. God bless.
With Father Scott Hurd, we've gone inside the pages of The Living Gospel, Daily Devotions for Lent 2013. To learn more about this book or to obtain a copy, go to AveMariaPress.com, the website for its publisher, Ave Maria Press, or you can find it at any fine Catholic bookstore. To hear and or to download this discussion along with many others, go to DiscerningHearts.com. This has been a production of DiscerningHearts.com. I'm your host, Chris McGregor. Join me next time for Inside the Pages, insights from today's most compelling authors.